I'd like to thank y'all for having me here at Ephesus, and I'd like to thank Brother David for challenging me with this lesson that I'm going to do tonight. If I say anything that's wrong or anything like that, please be my friend after service and take me aside and correct me. So with all that being said, let's get started. Men, do you remember back in the day whenever you were in the dating stage and you saw this girl that you wanted to be like, or you wanted to like, and you pretended to be somebody you weren't? Okay, women, do you remember seeing this handsome guy and you pretended to be somebody you weren't to catch his eye? Or you was like me and you just put it out there, and if you didn't like it, sorry, nice to meet you, we'll go on. Okay, well, if you can't think to anything like that, think back a little further to pretend friends. I can pick on my uncle because he's not here. He used to have a pretend friend one time, and he got all upset one day because my grandmother was taking him to town, and she got my uncle in the car and closed the door. And she got in the car and was fixing to leave, and my uncle just started crying and boo-hooing, would not stop. And she said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "Will you close my imaginary friend up in the door?" And she had to get out and open the door and let the imaginary friend get in. I tried the imaginary friend thing one time, and I couldn't remember his name, so I just quit. But if you stick me in the woods, I pretend all day long that a stick is a gun, and I can play army man all day long. Do you see where I'm going with this? How often do we pretend to be Christians? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10 says, we'll read through the end of the chapter. "Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before their hands, scratched before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on doors of the gates, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see this man, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" So, I want you to think back a couple of chapters. If you've ever read 1 Samuel, you know that David here is fleeing from Saul because Jonathan told him to. Remember the story about the arrow? I'll shoot it this far, and if I tell the lad to go yonder, that means it's not safe. Saul's trying to kill you. So David, he said, he's fleeing from Saul. So he goes to the land of Gath. But David didn't really think about this because Gath is the land of the Philistines. And what did David do to the king of the Philistines, basically? He killed him. So the Philistines knew who David was. So, whenever they recognized him, they started saying, "Hey, whoa, this is that man that they sang a song about, that he killed 10,000s. So David pretended to be a madman because he feared his life, for his life. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. G- Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 11, or we'll start in verse 10. This is Abram and Sarah going to Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I will live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commanded her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah and Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? What have you not tell me? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So we see here that Abram was scared of his life. He went to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and he saw that his wife was beautiful. So he said, "Okay, we're going to pretend that you're my sister so that I can live." Well, that's all fine and good, but why would Abram have to pretend? I mean, she kind of was his sister anyway, half-sister. But Abram pretended that Sarah was his sister so that he could live. I'm not going to read this, but in Genesis chapter 27, the whole chapter is talking about Jacob and Esau. And this is kind of, we all know this story that it was getting to the end of Isaac's life, and it was time to bless Esau with the birthright. But if you remember the Lord's saying, he said that the older shall serve the younger. That means Esau is going to serve Jacob. So anyway, it gets this time, and Rebekah, their mother, hears Isaac say to Esau, "Go into the field and prepare me a meal, and I will bless you." So she says, "Okay, Jacob, come here. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out into the goat pen, and I want you to get some goats and prepare them." So he says, "Okay, but my brother's hairy and I'm not. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it." So he goes and he gets the goats, and she says, "Okay, you take the goat's hair and you put it on your hands and you put it on your arms so that you will be hairy like your brother." So Jacob pretended to be Esau, and he got blessed with the birthright. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 29. We all know this story too. Starting in verse 21, it says, "Then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for the days are fulfilled, that I may go into her.' And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, 'What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I serve you? Why then have you deceived me?' And Laban said, 'It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years.'" So if we go back, the agreement at the first of the chapter between Laban and Jacob was, hey, I'm going to serve you 7 years, and you give me Rachel as wife. So it goes on, and it gets time to marriage, and Laban pretended to give Jacob Rachel. Now let's skip on over to the New Testament. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Starting in verse 1, excuse me. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the piece of land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. So she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who had heard these things. So Ananias and Sapphira pretended to sell the land that they sold for so much. There's nothing wrong with selling a possession. Nothing wrong with it. But what they did was, is they pretended that they sold it for so much, but they kept some back for themselves. And thus doing that, they lied. They could have said, hey, we sold it for this much, but we kept back this much for ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. But they pretended that they sold it for so much, and so they lied. Now, I want you to really pay attention to these next pretends, because I arranged this lesson this way for a certain reason. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter, remembering the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter, a man that just hours before this was willing to stand up in arms. He cut off an ear to the fella that was fixing to take Jesus away. But he pretended not to be a follower of Christ, huh? Whenever it was important, he pretended. So I'm going to ask you, how many times do we pretend to be not to be a follower of Christ. We're around this group of friends, and this group of friends, you don't act like Christians around them. We pretend not to be a Christian around them. But then whenever we're with this group of friends over here, we're a Christian all day long. We shouldn't pretend not to know Jesus if we know Him. We should let our light shine. Last thing, and the lesson will be yours. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and are all uncleanliness. How many times do we pretend to be a Christian whenever the inside of our cups, the inside of ourselves, our souls are nasty? Outside, the Pharisees, if you done a little research on them, they were some good people. Everybody just wanted to be like the Pharisees. Not really. The Pharisees were the people that said, look at me. Look at me. Look at how good I am. I pray on the street corner so that you can see that I'm praying. But was their heart in the right place? No. Are we like that? Hey, Adam, he's standing up here. He's a preacher for tonight. He's good. Look at him. But inside, am I good? You know, we can pretend all we want to be something we are or something we're not. It doesn't matter. And we can fool men all the time if you're good at it. But you know somebody that you can't fool? God. He knows everything. So why don't you be who you say you are and be a Christian? Or if you're not a Christian, don't act like a Christian. Tonight, if you've struggled with this, if you've struggled pretending to be a Christian when you're not, and you need the prayers of the saints, don't hesitate. Come forward. And if you're not a Christian, and you want to start that walk, you want to start that walk so that you can be a shining light in this world to help somebody else. We have a baptistry here. There's no greater time than right now, because tomorrow may never come. You can come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Please come forward as we stand and sing, whatever you